that death could not contain. His power, his love, his grace, for he is risen. The greatest story ever told is of this Jesus, how he came to earth to rescue sinful men, sent from the Father up above to sacrifice in love and take our place.
The greatest story ever told. Story. A story can be real or fiction. Some choose to believe the story of Christ is not true, at least not the Bible's version. Most would agree that he lived. Historical accounts verify that. They are willing to believe he was a good man who did good things, but that's all. But as the song said, to sacrifice in love and take our place? That's a whole other story, isn't it? To understand and believe that I can't save myself, to understand and believe that I don't need just a good man, to understand and believe that I need a Savior, Jesus, who is God and man. 1 John 4:14 says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us."
Not what these hands have done can save this guilty soul. Not what this toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Not what I feel or do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers and sighs and tears can bear my awful load. My work to me can pardon speak. Thy power alone, O Son of God, can this sore bondage break. I bless the Christ of God. I rest on love divine, and with unfaltering lip and heart, I call this Savior mine.
I can't pay the price for my sins, but neither can you. But you know what's wonderful? We don't have to. Knowing that should put a smile on your face and joy in your heart. 1 Corinthians 6:20 and 7:23 tell us that we were bought with a price. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 tell us what that price was. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hebrews 9:12 says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Jesus' blood paid the price. He has obtained eternal redemption for us. He has bought us back. He has freed us from the bondage and penalty of sin. He has restored our relationship with the Father. He is our Redeemer, and he wants us to have joy. John 15:11. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full."
Yeah. those who say the story of Jesus' death could be true, we all die. Maybe they are even willing to believe that he died for the sins of the world. But the resurrection? Listen to these various verses from 1 Corinthians 15. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is vain also. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Christ indeed is risen.
In 2 Peter 3:11, Peter asks the believers this question: What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15 says, For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them, and rose again. So, what manner of persons should we be? Believers that don't live for ourselves, but for Jesus Christ, who died and rose for us. And to do that well, we should have two things: thankful lives and humbled hearts. Thankful lives living our lives in thankfulness every day and every moment of every day for not only what happened on the cross and in the tomb, but thankful lives for his continual presence in our lives, and humbled hearts, knowing that we don't deserve anything from God, and yet, as it says in Romans 8:32, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
What does Jesus' resurrection mean for the believer? First, the resurrection means we are justified. Romans 4:25 says, "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." Second, the resurrection shows that Jesus defeated death. Acts 2:24, "Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Third, the resurrection means that when God looks at us, he does not see our unrighteousness, but he sees the righteousness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." 4. The resurrection of Jesus gives believers a living hope. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." There are so many more, but here's just one more. Jesus' resurrection confirms his victory over sin, its power, and all its consequences, which means we can be saved. Romans 10:9 tells us that a requirement for salvation is believing in Jesus' resurrection, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do you believe that Jesus died and rose again for you? If you've never been saved, today would be a great day to be saved. And if Jesus is your Savior, determine now that you will try to every day have a thankful life and a humbled heart, because he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Crown is an ornament worn on the head by kings and sovereign princes as a badge of power and authority. Policemen wear badges as a token by which he or she distinguishes from civilians and by which their authority is noticed. Kings wear crowns with the same effect, only with a higher authority. Jesus actually wears many crowns. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 12 says, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And in verse 16 of that chapter, it says, on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, one of his crowns we see in John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, which is a brutal, brutal whipping. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find no fault in him. That's kind of an interesting thing, isn't it? Wearing a mocking purple robe and a crown of thorns which caused the blood to seep down his face. That's an interesting way to prove you don't find any fault in a man. Verse 5, then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. To Pilate, he was just a man. But for us, that crown of thorns became the crown of suffering. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Hebrews 13 verse 12, That he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 18, For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or help them that are tempted. And 1 Peter 2, 21, Because Christ also hath suffered for us, leaving us an example. The crown of thorns, a crown of suffering for the King of salvation. And as a result of his suffering, he brought us to God. He sanctified us. He is able to help us. And he left us an example to walk in his steps. But then Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 says, But we see Jesus. Now, Paul wrote this many years after Jesus had ascended into heaven, and so he is not suggesting that even at the moment this was written, you could see Jesus physically, but we are to see him with our understanding. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death and crowned with glory and honor. After the crown of suffering comes the crown of glory. And in verse 10 it says, For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory. Hold on to that. I'll come back to that in a moment. But we go over to Acts chapter 2. And on the first day of the church, Peter is preaching a sermon, and he's preaching about the resurrection. Acts chapter 2, verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. He's going to make a contrast between the fact that David is dead, but Jesus is very much alive, and the fact that David knew about the resurrection. For he says in verse 30, therefore, being a prophet, David was a prophet, not only king, but prophet also, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, Psalm 16, verse 10, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. David knew about the resurrection. He knew that the Messiah would be raised from the dead. So verse 32, he says, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we're all witnesses. There's the proof. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're given the substance of the gospel. And so often, almost universally, we refer to the gospel as the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We miss a very important point. For even there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it tells us it's the death, burial, resurrection, and appearances of Jesus Christ. Witnesses are very important. It's not a rumor. It's not conjecture. It's real, and it's proven by witnesses. Jesus actually and physically arose from the dead. Verse 33, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, there is his crown of glory. Exalted to the right hand of God. And you know, David even knew about that in the Old Testament. Look at verse 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. That's in Psalm 110, verse 1, a psalm that David wrote. And the first Lord is God the Father, and the second Lord is God the Son, whom David says is my Lord. Sit thou at my right hand. And that happened when he ascended into heaven. It's amazing what they knew in the Old Testament. And so he says in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified both Lord and Christ. There is his crown of glory. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Wherefore, in light of what he did for us, he made himself of no reputation. Verse 5. He took upon him the form of a servant. Verse 7. And was made in the likeness of man, being found in the fashion as a man. Verse 8, he humbled himself, became obedient unto the death of the death of the cross. Wherefore, in light of what he did for us, God also hath highly exalted him. And as he wore the crown of suffering for all of us, he wears the crown of glory before all of us. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Thankful lives, humble hearts. Every day of our lives, we should bow the knee, if not physically, at least in our hearts, bow the knee to Jesus. Because Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. I told you I'd come back to this in a moment. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. When he was crowned with glory and honor, having tasted death for all of us and raised from the dead, it says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, he amazingly is willing to share his glory with us. Wow. We're not worthy. That's why we should have humble hearts and bow the knee. But we ought to be thankful and have grateful lives. He arose from the dead. It was proven by witnesses. He ascended into heaven, sat down at the right hand of the Father. He wears the crown of glory, just as he wore the crown of suffering. And he's willing to share that glory with us. If only we would believe and trust in what he did for us. Wow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in this moment, we bow before you. There's a reason we say when we're getting ready to pray, let's bow our heads. It might seem a simple physical gesture, and yet it is significant that we bow before you. To humbly say, thank you. Thank you that Jesus wore the crown of suffering successfully. And now he wears the crown of glory unselfishly, willing to share with us. Lord, if there's someone here who has not yet truly believed and received Christ as their Savior, touch their hearts this day and bring them to that place of humility before the cross, where they might receive the Lord Jesus. Receive forgiveness of sins and share in his glory. Wonderful. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.